it's the right page, my notes instead of the announcements. Does the Bible have the answer for everything? What makes you think that? Ha-ha, got you, didn't I? Well, I think it does too. And this is the big one. This is a question I had this week, and this is what I did most of my studying on. Is Jesus fully man? Is Jesus fully God? Jesus was both. He was fully man and fully God when he came down to earth. And we're going to look at some verses, and I'll get to why that's so important to understand that and understand it scripturally, because it'll affect the rest of your life. I'm going to start with, was Jesus fully man or was he fully God? And the verses I'm going to start with, the first one is in John chapter 1. Matt, you know, and I got together this week, we talked about basically how do you find rest? That's basically what this whole sermon is about. Remember, I told you I was going to do that, and I did. So the first ones we're going to look at is from John chapter 1, and I'm going to start with the first four verses here. First three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, anybody know who he's talking about there? Beginning was the Word. What's the Word? The Word was with God. So whoever it was with God, and the Word was God. So that narrows it down quite a bit, huh? He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that had come into being. You know what they're talking about there? Yeah, it's Jesus. You read the rest of the chapter, and it becomes so obvious. Matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 14 that goes there, same chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? Jesus became flesh, and he actually come down here, and this is so crazy. It'd be so easy to make jokes about myself, but I'm not going to do it. He came down here, and he stayed with us, and he taught us how to live and do life. And the Word became flesh. There's another verse in John chapter 10, verse 30. I have to admit, I've been studying the Bible. I started reading the Bible 50 years ago, last September, 2 months ago, and I've never stopped. And there's hope for me, because there's still so much in here that I never got those first 50 years. And I got several insights this last weekend, and I'm going to share them with you today. That, well, how did I ever miss those things? John chapter 10, verse 30, reads like this. This is Jesus, red letters in my Bible. I and the Father are one. What's he saying? What does he mean by that? He's saying, I'm equal with God. Now, he was accountable and submissive. If I only do the things God tells me to do, or I only do the things I see him doing. But it was still, he was put himself on equal ground here with God. So he knew he was God. Let's keep going, see where this comes out to. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. You ever have pages stick together in your Bible? Not too bad unless you're giving a sermon. And I don't know what I was eating while I was eating that, reading off that last page. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Have this attitude in yourself. Now, attitudes are very important. Truthfully, more of the sin happens with our attitudes than not. Have this attitude in yourself. And if he tells us to have this attitude, how many of you know it's an ability to do that? We call for God and say, help me have the right attitudes. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. I got the real clincher coming up, but I got one or two more to read to you. Colossians, the very next book, just turn a page or two over, chapter 2, verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. So there's another verse about him being equal with God. One more verse, and then I go to the real clincher, the one I got the most out of. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, reads like this. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, how come man isn't capitalized there? The man, Christ Jesus. Now, can somebody tell me what are the five gospels in the Bible? Anybody know the five gospels? You're afraid I'm going to trick you with every question I throw at you today, right? This is not... Go ahead, Matt. What are the five gospels? What's the last one? Right. Is that something you and I talked about? From some smart guy that you met with before, maybe? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We all know that. You know why Isaiah is listed as the fifth gospel? Because there's more mentioned in Isaiah about Jesus than most of the other books, other than the other four gospels in the whole Bible. And let me show you this one. This is an amazing, amazing verse. If you want to follow, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And you've heard this before. I've read it before many times in many sermons, but I've never noticed this until this past week. So if there's hope for me, there's hope for all of you, right? We're going to look at verse 6 and 7. Now I'm going to break it down. We're going to talk about it as we go through here. This is Isaiah speaking, and he's saying these words, this prophecy. He said this 700 years before Jesus even showed up on earth. That puts a lot of weight on here. He's saying something new. You think it's really going to happen? Oh, it will. It'll be 700 years. That's three times the history we have in our country. And he was saying this. And this is what he said here, verse 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Any idea who he might be talking about? Yeah. Good one, Rachel. Jesus. The child isn't capitalized. The son isn't capitalized. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. There is capitalized. His shoulders. So he's going to give us a son, and he'll be born to us, and the government. What government? You could say any government you want or all the above will rest on Jesus' shoulders. H, big H for his shoulders. And his name, H again, the big H, the name, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. There it is. He's being introduced as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of big H, his government, or of peace. Now look at this. On the throne of David and over the big H or small H there? You see it? 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. It's a small H. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with righteousness and judgment. And then on and forevermore. Now the bottom line is, Jesus was God, but he was also, he came to earth as a human being, as a man, basically to teach us how to live our life. If he can do it, we can do it. It's a decision we make. And the words that come to my mind, it was like he had a dual nature. He had twin citizenship. One of my best friends I had, he passed away, was a guy I met in Egypt years ago. He was over there ministering, Nathan Georgie. We brought him to the States several times so a lot of you could meet him. And he was an amazing guy. And even in his 80s, he was still ministering. And twice he had acid thrown in his face when he opened the door to somebody knocking on him. I mean, that's the life of a Christian in a lot of Muslim countries. And he didn't go blind. He fought it both times with his hand. His hands were burnt very badly. But he was a citizen of Egypt, but he was also a citizen of America. Some of his kids lived in Florida. I said, Nathan, why don't you move to Florida? It'd be a lot easier living. I'm not after easier living. I'm after winning people to Jesus, especially in my home country. And that's what he did. He died there, leading people to Jesus. And he had two citizenships. And I kind of see Jesus, he had two citizenships. In reality, we have two citizenships if we realize it. We're an American, but our main allegiance needs to go to God. And that's where we're going to be spending a lot more time than the 50, 60, 70 years we have down here. We're going to be with Jesus in his kingdom for eternity. If you're saved, You're walking with him. Remember the story about Jesus getting in the boat with his disciples, and they cast off, and he had a full day, and he forgot to bring his reading glasses and things like that. So when they took off, he laid down on this cushion in the front of the boat, and he was sound asleep. How many of you know after a hard day, you could fall asleep in a matter of a minute, maybe quicker, if you had a real hard day? Did you fall asleep when you went home, Daniel, from trimming all that brush? Huh? I could take a nap two or three times a day if I close my eyes and sit down and still fall asleep at night. Maybe that comes with age. I don't know. But anyway, I fell asleep pretty easily that night. But Jesus was on this boat, and he was laying down because he said he was tired, and he fell asleep, and this storm blew in. Remember the story? And Jesus never even noticed the storm. He never woke up. And his disciples had to go over there and kick him or something and get him up. Jesus, don't you care about us? We're going to die. Get up, do something. So we're going to look at that story, because this brings out some things that we need to know about Jesus. He's fully God, but he was fully man also. I'm going to turn to the story if you want to follow along. And there's several accounts, but the one we're going to read from is in Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read 35 through 41 about this account. It's labeled Jesus Stills the Sea. Verse 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, his disciples, people he was walking with, "Let us go to the other side." I think it was the Sea of Galilee. And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. And I don't know if you ever noticed this before, but just as he was, and other boats were there with him. But his wasn't the only boat on this sea. He had other boats with some other friends following him everywhere he went, even through a sea. And they didn't think it was going to be a storm. Jesus probably wouldn't have started out. But I'm guessing, I don't know. I'm guessing he might have known it was going to be a storm. And here was a good lesson they could teach his buddies in the boat. But either way, they were out there. And there arose, verse 37, and there arose a fierce gale of wind. Anybody else working outside? What day did we work outside this week, Daniel? Was it Thursday or Friday? Friday. Anybody work outside Friday? It was pretty windy, wasn't it? I don't know how it happened, but all my leaves stayed in my yard. It seems like some of my neighbors got piled onto them too, but it was a fierce, fierce wind, gale of wind. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was at the stern, the front of the boat, asleep on a cushion. Now, how could he be sleeping there with a major storm going on all around him? And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I'd like to hear that. It started out of this deep sleep. Someone's yelling in your ear, "Don't you even care about us?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." Now, this is the first major lesson that I've spoke on this many a times before, but it might be new to some of you. When you have a problem in your life, and you're faced with this dilemma, what should I do? Well, you could pray and say, God, will you please take care of this dilemma? But many times in the scripture, when Jesus found himself in that kind of situation, you know what he did? He spoke to the situation. He spoke to the storm. There's been times that I've spoken to storms. I remember one time years ago, our cabins used to get flooded down along the stream. And thank God I'm selling my last cabin to another kid, and three of the four kids have cabins down there, so I can go down there and go fishing and swimming. I don't have to even do any upkeep anymore. That is a blessing. But anyway, it comes with being the old man. But there was supposed to be this storm coming in. I was afraid, well, there goes the cabins again. And you can say what you want, but I've had to literally fix those cabins up about three times. The walls blew out because water got in so much inside. So I didn't want that to happen again. So I got into my truck when I used to have a truck. Now, did I mention we need about three trucks on Saturday? Yeah. If I had mine, that would be one, but I don't have it anymore. It's in truck heaven. But I rode my truck down there, and I went out on the platform. God, I'm not sure what to do about this. It's supposed to be a major, major flood, and I don't have time to fix these cabins anymore, and neither do my kids. In the name of Jesus Christ, you storm, you will not come into these cabins again tomorrow when it comes. And I might have got a little more bold, and I was definitely more loud, but I spoke to the storm. And guess what happened? The storm didn't come. It came, but it didn't even come up to the top of the bank. Now, don't tell me that you can't speak to the storm. There was a time, some of you might not know this guy, Frank Clark. He was part of our church. And he used to have a Kubota. And he used to let me bring his Kubota over to the church and mow and things like, pretty much like yours, John. And so I drove all the way from Benton over here. And yes, I asked Grant, how am I going to get there? Well, just hop on and drive. So I did. Drive, drive, drive. But anyway, I got over there, got everything mowed and started back. And about halfway back, I could see this storm coming right in front of the road that I was heading into. What do I got to lose? In the name of Jesus Christ, you will part before I get to you, storm, and allow me to drive through on dry ground. Now, this isn't a joke. I mean, if I'm making one word of not true, go ahead and take me home right now, God. But I know what I did. And it wasn't my power. It was speaking to the storm. It was speaking to the situation. And as I went down the road further and further, the clouds started parting in the middle. And it was raining on this side. It was raining over here. But I didn't get a drop on the Kubota, nor my head. You can do it. And that's one of the things that Jesus was trying to teach them, probably, that, and remember, this wasn't Jesus God. This was Jesus man. And he spoke to the storm, and it didn't bother him. Let's read the rest of this story. Teacher, do you not care? We're perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, he spoke to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Now, in the middle section of my Bible, sometimes there's a word they use in New American Standard. It's by far the most accurate of any translation. But this word afraid is really translated out of Hebrew, meaning this, cowardly. Why are you being such a coward? Why are you cowardly? Don't you have any faith? They became very afraid. And it's the same word, cowardly. And they became very cowardly. They were cowardly before, but now they're probably more cowardly. And said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This was Jesus, the man. You could punch him in the nose and he would probably start to bleed. You know, he was a human being. But he was also a citizen of heaven. He was also fully God and fully man. So he was trying to teach these people, these disciples, how to do life. And if you think about it, all the lessons in the Bible, all the lessons in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're to teach us how to do life. And the more we get that into us, the better our life will be. That doesn't mean we won't have problems, but we'll know how to deal with the problems in the right way. I want to share three more little sentences of scripture before we empty our seats. First two are in Psalms. The first one is in Psalm 118. Verse 6 reads like this. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. Now, either you believe he's for you, or you're going to fear. But how many times do you fear? We all fall into that trap, don't we? And it's because we don't believe the Lord is really for you, Jess, or for you put your name in that spot. The Lord is for me. Here, you're going to say that only when it gets to the word me, you're going to say your name, okay? The Lord is for Jess. I didn't hear anybody else but Jess. Try it again. The Lord is for me? No, your name. Put your name in there. Get it down pat. It'll save your life many a times over. The Lord is for Jess. I will not fear. And if he's telling us to do something, he's going to give us the ability to do it. Now, the other psalm is Psalm 116. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 8 there. And they read like this. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, for you save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. Now, there's some aspects about God. He's gracious towards us. He's always doing the right thing. And he's compassionate. And then verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. Now, what do you think it means, the Lord preserves the simple? I'll tell you in a minute. I looked up in my second common Bible, New American Standards, where I read and study and preach from. But if I get a word like that, simple, I turn to this other translation. I know some of you use it. New Living Translation. And instead of the word simple, it says having a childlike faith. Now put that in there. The Lord preserves those who have a childlike faith. Do you have any memories in your mind when you were growing up and you were a little kid? And your dad told you to do something or your mom told you to do something and you really didn't want to do it, but you trusted your dad. I can think of swimming in the stream over at Camp Levine, and that's a cold water stream. That's why trout live in there so easily. But my dad was out there and he said, "Come on, Jess, jump, I'll catch you." And I jumped and he caught me. Woo! You think God can do a better job than even our earthly dad? So when he tells us to do something, we just have to have that simple childlike faith that he'll catch us when we need to be caught. I was brought low and he saved me. And this is the main verse. Return to your rest, O my soul. Do you think it's a proper thing to have to do this sometimes? You speak to the storm. How about you speak to your soul? What is your soul? It's your emotional part, right? We all have them. You know, God has a soul. God has emotions too. If you don't think he does, you haven't read your Bible very much. He can get kind of upset sometimes, and that's all right. You're a good reason. Return to your rest, O my soul. And I'm not resting. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I'm full of anxiety. All those things. Those are the things I'm worshiping right now. See what I'm saying? If you're there. But you find yourself having those things, those depression, anxiety, stress, and you decide, I'm going to speak to my soul. Soul, return to your rest. You think that could help? I know it can help. I've done it before myself. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Anybody have some favorite verses they like to pray? The older I get, this is one of my common verses. God, help me not to stumble. Sometimes I could think maybe two or three times in the last couple of years, I fell. One time I fell off the tractor, the John Deere. And but if I would count the times I almost stumbled, it would be several times a day. But God, help me not to stumble, because I know I have a tendency to stumble. You speak to even yourself when need be. I got one more verse and we're going to close. And I'm not going to tell you where to put it up, Ellie, yet, because I want them to be able to fill in the blank here. And if they can, I don't want you to say it, just repeat it to yourself quietly so you don't give your answer to anybody else, okay? And then if you got it, great. If you don't, take out your Bible. And if you didn't bring your Bible, then you're going into battle without your sword. You need to bring that Bible. You used to open that Bible. Get in that Bible every day. And then I'm going to tell you where it is, and you can open your Bible to that, and then we'll read it, and then I'll tell you where it is, Ellie, to put it up. It's a common verse. You fill in the blank just to yourself. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That ring a bell with anybody? Go ahead, if you have your sword with you, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Give them a minute or two, Ellie, then you could put it up there. I want us to read it from our Bible if we have one. If not, you can cheat and read off of Ellie's Bible she puts up there. Anybody find it in their Bible? Who just said that? Two of you. You said it. Say that again, Joel. Do you believe that? Do we all believe it? At least up here. Maybe down here sometimes, huh? We need to believe that. If he can calm the storms as a fully human, fully God, then we can do it too with his help. I always preference those prayers with, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, storm, I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Anybody find it in their Bible? Go ahead and put it up there, Allie. Oh, you already did. Thank you. So some of you can read from your Bible, and some of you can read up there the cheater Bible. Ready? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and forever. If we believe that, it'll change our whole life. Not up here, but in here. I always pray about these. Okay, God, how should I end this? That's what came to mind. You guys just chew on that for a while. Amen. I'm serious. You got something you can chew on for. You ever see a cow chew on his cud? When's he going to get that chewed up? You know, they have several stomachs, supposedly. They spit it back up. You don't have to do that. But just chew on that for a while. This amazing thought that Jesus was fully human and fully God, and he calmed the storm. And he's telling us to do the same. He's teaching us how to live our life. Amen. Amen.